As you're getting ready to do your holiday shopping, the Black Friday deals on Amazon.com also are going to rocks. Get the best deal this holiday season for everybody on your list using our link, robaswebsite.com/Amazon, or for our friends in Canada, robaswebsite.com/AmazonCA.
The smartest guys around. We're about to break it down like they've won the game a million times.
Well, actually, they didn't really win the game at all.
Survivor know-it-alls.
That is right. The Survivor Know-It-Alls are back here together once again in one big trust cluster. Stephen Fishback.
Trust cluster hump or whatever yes, I apologize to everyone listening already for my audio. I'm in Los Angeles, but too far away from Rob to go to his professional studio.
Yes. All right. Well, Stephen Fishback, welcome back to the mainland United States after 2 weeks in India. How was your trip?
It was really nice. Thank you for asking. I'm glad. That's what I want to talk about today. I had a really great trip. Saw beautiful parts of India. It's just an incredible, impressive, amazing country. Yeah, it's great.
Okay. Well, we have so much to get to. We have so much to get to here tonight.
So much to talk about. Yes, thank you. I had so many interesting things on my trip.
We have so much to talk about here tonight after one of the best nights of Survivor in the almost 7 years of Rob Has a Podcast. Stephen, I am so over the moon about this season and these 2 hours and especially this second hour of Survivor tonight.
What an incredible episode. So much fun. So much going on. You know, you have both this incredible strategy, these two great characters who we love facing off against each other. And at the same time, you have all these great character moments where you've got Brett, you know, coming out to Zeke and talking about, you know, their discussion about what it's like to be gay and across the generations. You've got these fantastic moments with Hannah where she's, you know, at the well, got totally, you know, Hannah-ing out. And so many great little things happening throughout this episode. I just loved it.
Yeah, that second hour, I mean, I think that could be, you could make a case, one of the best Survivor hours of all time. It really was fantastic. What a tribal council. We'll talk through it all. So many strategic decisions to make. But I'm gushing, Stephen Fishback, about my love tonight for Survivor and for this episode and for this season. Fantastic.
And for my trip. And we're gushing about all of it together. Yes, an amazing episode and an amazing trip.
And happy Thanksgiving to everybody watching here in the U.S. Getting ready to enjoy their Thanksgiving. But we're so thankful for all of the Survivor that we have
to talk
about. God,
I'm thankful for this Survivor episode. What a fantastic episode.
And a new Thanksgiving tradition because let it not be overlooked that it was 1 year ago last
year. Worst episode last year. Yeah.
Yes. As the turkeys were marinating, getting ready to be put in the oven, so were you, Stephen Fishback, in another incredible 2 hour Survivor marathon.
Yeah. Well, I do think there's something too, like the sort of this part of the season is, you know, it's like all of those merged tensions are sort of like coming to a head right now in the biggest explosion. And I do think
like your Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah. Like an explosive. Yeah. The Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah.
With family, sure. Yeah. All right, so let's just set everything up. Hashtag RHAP to get your questions. I'm sure you will have many. So we will have no exit interview tomorrow. We'll do a double exit interview on Monday. Everybody's home at CBS Publicity for the holiday. So we will speak with both Chris and Jessica.
Oh my God, Jessica's exit was so heartbreaking.
It was gutting. Oh my
weeping.
God.
And it was even more, it was like more heartbreaking because she was weeping like off screen, you know, like when it was like the votes.
Yeah.
And like you didn't even hear, you just heard her weeping. That was so hard.
So We've got all that to talk through. I will have Tyson as the guest on Friday. And really, we got a rock draw to talk about with him. That couldn't have worked out better. He'll be my guest for the recap.
Oh, yeah, that really worked out really well.
And voicemails, yeah. So really all fantastic stuff along the way. We got some other cool stuff to talk about later on. I want to show you guys something that Stephen and I have for you guys in the Robinson Podcast store. But we'll get to that later on because we have too many headlines to talk about, Stephen. So first off, I guess let's just talk about this tribal council, historic tribal council, rock draw with eight people. Wow. I know so much out of Blood versus Water was, hey, if you know your side is going to, if you're going to lose, if you're Sierra, you got to make big moves, go to the rocks at six. Should Jessica, did Jessica, can we get on Jessica's case for not flipping at this vote?
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, I've always been a big fan of like, you got to go to rocks. It's all about, you know, if you have, you have to get your alliance into the power position. You have to have the courage to go to rocks, and the alliance that has the courage to go to rocks is going to be the one that triumphs. And if you let yourself go, you know, you look at South Pacific where Cochran flipped, you know, Savai didn't get the chance to go to rocks and Savai was picked off by Upolu. But I think the game has evolved. Like I think
trust
the way
clusters.
The game, trust, I think the way the game is being played now means that suggests that going to rocks is actually a mistake because every episode you've got a new group voting together. It's not like the old days where you had your five people alliance and they were going to be your five alliance no matter what. And if your five alliance beat that other five alliance by getting the right rock draw, then you had the game all figured out, you know? I doubt that five of Zeke and Will and Jay and Brett and Sunday, like that's probably not going to be together for even a week, let alone 2 weeks. So I think going to rocks is at this point in the game with this many people is not necessarily the best move anymore. Do you agree?
I do agree, Stephen. And it's funny because that there's so many different previous tribal councils that we can reference here. But let me just throw a couple of them out to you. Where we, back in the very early days of podcasting, we discussed John Cochran in Survivor South Pacific. You actually felt like that Cochran made a mistake at that tribal council when he switched and didn't go to rocks at the final 12. Now, he ends up going out at the final seven in that game. But my point at that time was there's so much time left in this game. Whereas at the final six, you could see the finish line. You could see how every vote is going to play out. If I don't make this move tonight, I'm going to lose anyway. For Jessica, I don't think it was that clear cut. I mean, you could certainly argue a case. The odds are not in her favor. But, I mean, was the chance, I mean, it was so small. You know, when we've done the math on this, it was a 1 in 6 chance that she was going to end up pulling the rock. But still, I feel like that if I was in that spot, I would not have gone to the rock there.
But like I said, I think there's a big difference between Cochran's move in South Pacific and here today, where in South Pacific, you know, there was no swap, right? You had these two tight alliance groups, and then Upolu did end up pagonging the Savai alliance, right? They just knocked them off one after the other after the other. And if Savai had won, they probably would have done the same thing to Upolu. It's not the same here where you have these two groups of people.
Fair point.
You got millennials, you got Gen Xers, you know, you've got old, you know, you got Jay voting together with Brett who just tried to vote him out. You know, there's so many dynamics here that it's just not worth it. If your butt's not on the line, for David, maybe it makes sense to go to rocks because he's going to be the next guy to go, obviously for Hannah, it makes sense to go to rocks, right? But I think for Jessica, it really doesn't.
If anything, I thought that this vote was probably going to be more like the John Fincher switching up his vote back in Survivor Samoa, where he was in this situation. I believe it was at the final eight in that season where he ended up flipping things around so that they wanted to go to rocks at that point, and then he flipped his vote against Laura Moret. I believe he goes out at the next tribal council, so it is very much a damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Well, but again, like, it's a different thing. There too, it was like, you know, it was, they just pagong, like, right. Fofo pagonged Galoo.
No, I understand your point. You're saying that in this era where there, whether you want to call it voting blocks, trust clusters, or what, that
there's a big difference. I'm sorry. You know, not everyone gets to invent their own term now. You know, like voting blocks was a specific phenomenon. You know, now you don't just get to like throw out some new name.
Right. But in this crazy mixed up game that we're playing where Zeke and David are going after each other hardcore after being really tight allies on the previous vote. You don't know what's going to happen one vote to the next. For Jessica, it might have been a good spot for her to flip. I actually was surprised that Adam wasn't somebody who ended up considering to flip. Did it surprise you that nobody else was even thinking about it?
But I bet there is that sort of like legacy, you know, especially with the super fans. There's that legacy sense that like you got to go to Rock, you got to be willing. You know, we may be part of the problem here, Rob, where, you know, we've been like, at least I've been banging that gong for so many years. And now I think the gong is flawed. The gong has changed. The gong's evolved.
Yeah. So really a huge move in the game. I know that you could probably spin it both ways. And I'm sure that we'll have so many different takes coming out of this week in terms of people saying, no, that's absolutely the right move to make because it's such a small chance that you are going to be the one to pull the rock. But also, you know, that there's just you want to just stay alive. JSS, just survive one week to the next, Stephen.
What's JSS stand for?
It's a Walking Dead thing.
Okay.
But so many different things from this episode between this battle between Zeke and David, which is playing out. Stephen, I love this season so much because we have this chess game. And the metaphor was used quite a bit tonight.
Yeah.
Like a Professor X and Magneto sitting there, David versus Zeke, and they're both trying to pick up the same pieces and they're both going after each other. They both make the same mistake where that you had David who ends up pulling Brett aside and say, hey, I'm going for Zeke in this round. And then you had Zeke who ends up telling Hannah, hey, I'm going for David in this round. And it's so fun for me to watch all this stuff, Stephen, because it's just such a civil war between the two of them. It's not ugly. Even at Tribal Council where it's like, hey, you're going to cry about it. The whole thing was self-policed by the cast. We don't have any ugliness going on in this season. No real pettiness between the players in terms of how these blindsides are happening. To me, this is just so much fun and everything that's good about Survivor.
I totally agree with you. You know, certainly coming off Koh Rong and then in season 32 where there was so much just like kind of like grossness, you know, with the, did I say 30? Yeah. You know, just with the people and like, you just felt nasty. Like there was strategy. Yeah. But there was also just like kind of really bad behavior. I totally agree that like everyone here is so fun, so rootable. Except Sunday and Will, everyone here is just no, like, come on, stop, character. Stop.
I mean, but even going back to where David is like, you know, I don't want to be in this challenge because I don't want to lose.
Yeah, what a great moment. Everyone like roots him on. That's to me is Survivor at its best. Where, you're all supporting each other. You all know you're undergoing this like incredibly tough thing together, but you're also all out like trying to win the game against each other. That's like, and I do think this is what a really spectacular season of Survivor, because you do have that happening. You've got really great gameplay from really nice people and really like inspiring people and people who, you know, they're all rootable except Sunday and Will. They're all rootable.
So just to go back to that thing, I know I threw that moment out there as an example of the sportsmanship in this season. But do you think that there was any gamesmanship both on David saying like, hey, I don't want anybody to be mad at me, not because necessarily, hey, I don't want to cost my friends, but I don't want to get voted out because I ended up doing that. And then for Brett, do you think as seeing somebody who was part of that first, and we got to talk about the Chris Tribal Council as well.
Oh, yeah.
Tonight.
We get a lot to talk about here, Rob.
But do you think there was any sort of gamesmanship? Like, nah, come on, get out there. Come on, give it the old college try.
I don't think
try.
So. I mean, only the gamesmanship of like, you know, not wanting to be, you know, in any Survivor situation, right? You don't want to let people down because it puts a target on you. But I don't think it was that specific. I mean, I have those emotions as well. Like my biggest frustration or fear of challenges is the fear of disappointing other people. So I totally got that. And I really think that was just David being totally sincere. Like I would rather not eat than have to like let other people down. I totally get that.
Yeah. Stephen, here's what I want to think about in terms of this tribal council, because I really that, you know, Zeke, I was so impressed with him this entire 2-hour episode. It seemed like he had such good instincts about people. He knew instantly, okay, I talked to Hannah. She's not with me, but I still don't understand that the two sides going into this tribal council, I get it from David's side where they felt like, okay, we have 5 votes and our play is going to be, we're going to pick the right person that they're voting for and we're going to play the hidden immunity idol on them. From Zeke's side, they had 5 votes.
Right.
Were they planning to go to Rocks? Did they feel like, okay, Hannah, David, Adam, they're all nervous Nellies. One of them will flip. They won't go to Jessica. They won't go to Rocks. Somebody over there will flip to our side. What was their plan?
Yeah, I agree. It was a little bit, I'm excited to talk about this with you too, because like what the actual thinking was here for all of them, because you know the narrative that we had through this 2 episodes was, oh, we got to get out Chris, because I just still don't know why. And then it's like, oh, well, now that Chris is gone, I got to take out Dave. I got to take out Zeke. Like, because he's the other chess master. But like, weren't they just like allies like a second ago? Like, is this, and I want to talk about like whether that's, and then you're right. Like suddenly it's like, this is my group and this is your group. And yeah, like did Zeke's alliance, maybe they thought they had a chance at Hannah or Adam because, right? Like at least Zeke thought that Hannah was in play and maybe thought Adam was in play. And maybe, you know, so yeah, I think maybe they knew that at worst they had 5, at worst it was worth going to Rocks. And, you know, again, like I think you can get really, especially when you're counting numbers and making plans, it's really easy to get in your head with this idea of like, we got to go to Rocks. We got to beat them. That's the other alliance. This is our one shot. Even if, you know, next week it's going to be a totally different group of people.
Steven, it's such a cardinal survivor sin, I believe, in the game where you have 2 people who sort of target each other and say, okay, it's my side versus their side.
Right.
And I think that probably 9 times out of 10, if we go back and look at the history books, both players lose the game and typically they lose the game back to back.
Yep.
And that there's so many different examples where, you know, you have even going back to, you know, San Juan del Sur is a great example of, this season is all going to be about Jeremy versus Josh. That's how it's going to play out. And then you have, you know, in other seasons where, you know, oh, Rob's people versus Russell's people. I mean, Steven,
me versus Joe.
Joe is a great example.
Yeah.
Where when you really just put the target on that one person, we have to get out this person next. And I think that we saw it play out already in these 2 hours between Chris and Jessica. Chris is like, I have to get Jessica out of the game. Jessica, I have to get Chris out of the game. They're both out of the game now, back to back.
Yeah.
And now we're going to see this play out between David and Zeke too.
I totally agree. And I think, you know, part of it is that, you know, the people that you talk about voting out are the ones who are getting talked about getting voted out. So it's like, there's almost like a self-reinforcing element to talking about, you know, voting someone out. And it's like, there's no reason that Zeke or David would be a target, except one of them is making the other one the target. And then that other person is still going to be the target, you know, like, Zeke, by taking this, he's stepping up right now, putting himself in the spotlight right now, becoming this leader, you know, getting rid of Chris, focusing on David, is thereby bringing a huge target on himself that he didn't have to have. So yeah, I agree. Like, I don't think Zeke's making it to the end. And I think it's because he's making this big play right now that that's going to happen.
Yeah. I feel like shame on the Gen Xers. They had the majority. They had the numbers. They had 6 of them together. They couldn't end up getting along. And then I think you could say the same thing to shame on David and Zeke for and going after each other when they had an opportunity to be able to run the table.
Well, the two of them were like a super tight pair. And then, you know, after Chris left, it was like they both decided, oh, I've got to get out the other strategist now. Like, tell me why, Rob. Just tell me why.
Yeah, it's such a, I know when you're out there, it's like, okay, well, this is the target. I have to get them out. That is the person who's standing beside me. But I just feel like that if there was a way to be able to work with the person who you feel like has the, especially when there's nothing personal between Zeke and David, that it's such a shame that they couldn't keep it together for longer. There's still so many people in the game and so many threats in the game. Jay is still in the game with an idol.
Yeah. Jay's got an idol. Will still there?
Yeah. But Adam is in the game.
No, it's true. There's a lot of people. And, you know, maybe Zeke thought that, you know, like Adam was also, you know, it really is unclear why these guys have been working together. Now, you know, and obviously, like, we see such a fraction of things. We don't know all of the many layered relationships between all these different people.
We understand. I mean, when David ends up having the conversation with Brett, hey, who's playing the best game right now? It's Zeke. That conversation gets back to Zeke. Zeke's hearing, right. Oh, David's kicking my name around. Okay, I didn't want to go after him this early, but I guess I have to because he's talking about coming after me. And then it gets back to David. Okay, well, Zeke's throwing your name around. And so that at the point where you hear your name, it's right. such a thing for survivors of that if somebody is talking about me, I have to get rid of them because they're talking about me. That I thought it was something very interesting from that first tribal council where Hannah talked about the trust cluster, but it was Sunday, your favorite, Stephen, who talked about, I don't think it's so much who you trust. I think it's more about who you don't trust. And I think that's what we see defining so much of what happens on Survivor. It's not necessarily who you trust. Yeah. It's the people I know I don't trust. And just going back to you and Joe, it was such a big thing for you in Cambodia about Joe is the person I don't trust.
Yeah, no, I think it's a really astute statement. And you're right. Like as soon as and those things just escalate, like you're saying, like where, you know, you hear someone's name, maybe it was just said in passing and then suddenly it's all out war. But, you know, going back to that first tribal council, you know, it's Chris wants Jessica out. So to that degree, it does make sense for David to want Chris out. But why does Zeke want Chris out?
It's a great question. Why did Zeke ultimately feel like that he was going to have better numbers? Because Zeke really did flip alliances between the 2 hours, where in the first hour, he ends up voting with David and Jessica and Ken and Anna and Adam and Hannah. And then in the second hour, he votes with Brett and Sunday and Jay and Will, which is interesting that he sort of flipped between the 2 hours of the show tonight. So it was interesting to see why he ultimately did it. And then he went to go pick up those pieces that were left over.
Yeah. Yeah. Which, you know, like good for him, I guess. I think it's a dangerous strategy to play. Like I've often said, you know, much better to be on a side. If you actually want to win the game, you know, it's much better to actually be on a side that gets to the end. I mean, you know, Tony Vlachos is like the one exception to that rule. But for the most part, people who win are the ones who are on a winning side rather than the ones who are like bouncing back and forth. I still don't get it. You know, I mean, and you can say that after he votes out Chris, then Zeke is maybe in a better position with Sunday and Brett. You know, then Zeke really does become the hub, right, for most of the little factions in the game. You know, he's got a relationship with Hannah and Adam. He's got a relationship with Brett and Sunday. He's got a relationship with, you know, David and Ken. You know, and it does, but, you know, and he's got a relationship with Jay and Will. And, you know, so Zeke, by voting out Chris, really does become this more central figure, but like not necessarily a great decision, you know, at the final 10.
Yeah. Do you think that for Zeke, was the mistake in that at the point where Brett tells him, hey, David is talking about you, he wants to get you out, instead of going and then going to Brett and Sunday and Will and Jay and trying to mount up people to go after David, is the right move to go back to David and sort of shore up that bond and put David at ease? Or is once David has it in his head that, okay, Zeke is the threat, there's nothing he can do, he has to go on offense?
Well, the problem is like, there's no way to have a conversation with someone once you've lost trust with them, right? Like you go to them and say, you try to, you know, build repair bonds, but you're never going to believe that they still don't want you gone, right? You're going to have a wonderful conversation. They're going to seem super nice. You're still going to think, oh, but he's actually plotting against me. And if I don't move now, he's going to get me, you know, because, you know, I think that that's the challenge. Like once someone is, you know, once you've lost trust, it's almost impossible to get it back. Yeah. I mean, why not? I mean, do you think it was right for, do you think Hannah was the right target for them?
It's interesting. I mean, that Zeke turned on Hannah so quickly. He said, yeah, I know she's not with me anymore. I have to get rid of her. But he had like, you know, almost 30 days of gameplay and trust with her.
Yeah.
To throw that person away. Do you feel like that was out of spite at all? Do you feel like that was an astute strategic move to go after the person that once he knows he can't trust her?
I don't know. I mean, my gut, and this is not necessarily well thought through, so I'm excited to talk about it, is that you probably want to go for like a core David person, right? Go for Ken or go for Jessica. You know, Hannah, you know, she's 55, 45. You know, you've got this longstanding relationship with her. You know that she's not really a threat in the game strategically. So like, why not just, you know, keep her around?
It's a good point in terms of, I think that maybe it might have been that she was somebody that the millennials, you could have talked them into going after her.
Right.
But I feel like that Jessica would have been, you know, just as easy to talk people into, especially Brett and Sunday, who've wanted to get her out for a while. And I know that it's such revisionist history for us to be able to, you know, we have the hindsight and we know how everything is going to play out to throw these things out there. So I do want to be fair to the players who don't have all the information like we do.
Yeah, but I'm, you know.
Not that fair. Right.
That scene with Hannah was so funny, though. I love that scene by the well where Zeke approaches Hannah and you know, is like, so, you know, David's a big threat. And like Hannah, like,
yeah, she froze.
Froze and just like sort of stared off. And Zeke was like, this is just my premise. Like, this isn't even my argument. This is just sort of like what I'm saying. Can we just like go with me here? And she couldn't even do it. And Hannah and Zeke was like, well, you're with me more than you're with David. And she couldn't even say yes. It was such a great moment.
You know, but Steven, I thought it was so interesting with this tribal council where, you know, there's been so many really fun things about this season where here's Hannah at that tribal council and there she is whispering in Adam's ear. Hey, do you trust me? Do you trust me? And it's funny that she was the person originally on the receiving end of whispers at tribal council.
Is that what she was whispering to Adam? Do you trust me?
That was one of the things she was whispering to him. I don't know why they continued to whisper throughout the whole tribal council, but it was like that little like seed that Michelle put out there during that Mari vote of this is how to operate during a tribal council. Now that's part of Hannah's operating system.
Emerging gameplay. Yeah, it's great. And that Ken thing was really a huge moment.
Yeah. And so, so then David gets up to go play his idol. And then it's like the longest anybody's ever had to think about who do you want to play the idol for? He goes like and sits back in his chair and it's like now all of a sudden like we're on The Price is Right and he's looking to the audience of what do I do? What do I do? Adam volunteers play. I heard Ken. I heard a Ken name. Wait,
so did you not think that he was playing it for himself?
I don't know what he was doing. I mean,
I thought he was playing it for himself.
How much time do you have to change your mind before Jeffrey starts reading the votes?
Yeah, I thought he was playing it for himself. And then Adam said, Ken. So if it was for him or Ken, like it ended up having basically no impact. Right. But if it might have been for Hannah, then that had a huge impact.
Yeah. So was that just sort of like a play fake people throwing Ken's name around?
I think so. Yeah, that's what it looked like. Right. I mean, I don't think Sunday like was on the spot lie. I'll bet that like that was planned.
Yeah, that's interesting. That'll be interesting to find out from the survivors out there. But again, just one of the other beautiful things in my love letter to this season tonight, Stephen. So Jessica only stayed in the game by the grace of David playing an idol for her.
Yeah.
And then goes out of the game on a night when David incorrectly plays the idol.
Yeah, it was really great. It was great. And it was like, kind of like, it was sort of like, you know, she was living on borrowed time and this was the sign, you know, that the borrowed
time
ended.
Final destination.
Yeah.
You can't cheat death. Yeah. Eventually it's coming for you.
Yeah. Well, so we finally get the you know, her passing the legacy advantage to Ken, which so many of us have been predicting for so long.
Yeah, so now Ken has the legacy advantage and we still, you know, nobody else in the game seems to know that that's his. So it'll be interesting to see where we end up going with that. And Stephen, let's just, I want to do justice to the Chris vote and just touch on that a little bit in terms of what came up in the beginning. It just was so hasty. I really thought that Chris was the adult in the room and the voice of reason, where Sunday I had theorized last week was talking about, hey, we need to go after Jessica. And I suspected that Chris was the one who says, hey, we've got a good thing going on. Let's not upset the apple cart.
Yeah. But then he, you know, those animosities run deep, you know, those betrayals, those early betrayals, you just never quite get over them. And I think that, you know, everyone got a little bit cocky. You know, they saw the immediate threat of the millennials was kind of dissipated because they'd gotten rid of Michelle and Taylor. And so you started to feel a little comfortable, you see your plans. Every time you make a plan, it goes according, you know, it goes well. So like, why not make it a more aggressive plan? You know, and I think people just get a little bit greedy. You got to play a defensive game. And it was, you know, obviously bad for Chris, you know. I mean, I get targeting Chris more than I get targeting, I don't know, actually.
The first couple of votes, which I think is the weakest point of this season, I mean, it really did sort of set the stage for this stuff that's playing out now, where those votes that we thought we didn't care about, the Paul votes and, ultimately when Lucy went home, all that stuff really did lay the groundwork for what came up here, as Zeke called it, the Gen X Civil War.
Yeah. It did, and it does. You know, I don't think you ever get over those, like, you know, those first betrayals. You just, like, keep waiting for the opportunity to vote someone out, and it just, like, grows and grows in you. You know, you never, like, forget, especially someone like Jessica, who right at the beginning she was with Chris, right? It wasn't like that they were on opposite sides from the start. Like, she was
all because Paul said, hey, just so you know,
yeah,
the guys like say something like, you know, you're on your own or something. Yeah. Whatever he said,
the most like, yeah, some benign comment that was totally blown out of whack.
Changed the season.
Totally changed everything. Isn't it crazy? That's Survivor, you know?
Yeah.
Some little remark and then the whole thing is different. But I was really disappointed to see Chris go. I loved Chris. You know, he was one of my favorites.
He was my winner pick, Steven.
Yeah. Really? You picked him to win?
I did. I said, you know, sometimes I'm just going to throw stuff at the wall now. I'm so bad at picking the winner.
Yeah. I would not have picked him.
Yeah, it was off. It was off brand to go for it, but but they said like he would have won the game if they didn't get him out.
Yeah, I think they say that to everyone who gets voted. Oh yeah, you know, Cece, she would have won it all. She hadn't just been voted out of the final 17.
Yeah, just a couple other cool things with this episode. I thought it was really fun in hindsight that the first immunity challenge in this episode turned out to be a battle between Zeke and David. So it was a little bit of foreshadowing, setting up what the second hour of this episode was going to be.
Oh, yeah, it was great.
Yeah. We touched on it early, but the scene between Brett and Zeke on the reward challenge. First off, I tweeted about this, but so exciting to see the two chess players of Zeke and David win the reward and go on the reward with the two pawns that they're both trying to talk to and go to their side. But what the hell is David thinking? I'm going to go take a walk. I'm going to go take my beers and go for a walk and leave Zeke alone with Brett.
You know,
Sunday.
It's code for like he's going off to have an interview.
Okay. Okay. Well, all right. I don't know what you could do, but you know, you'd have to drag me away.
I think that it's impossible. You're right. You're never going to be able to monitor everyone all the time because you're on a TV show, right? You're not just playing the game. You're also on a show and there's demands that the show, that the show has.
I'll do two interviews tomorrow.
Well, yeah, exactly. There are two walks. The way that conversation went out Unspooled though was so great between Zeke and Brett. And I'm writing about this in my blog a little bit, but like Zeke is really good at connecting with people like where they are, you know,
yes.
You know, he's really good at finding the thing that unites him to someone else. You know, he had like a nerd thing with Hannah and Adam, and then he had like the Oklahoma thing with Chris, and then he had the Survivor fan thing with David. And now he's got the gay thing with Brett. And it's like he's everyone he meets. He's like able to be like, oh, I'm just like you in this way. Like, here's my bond with you.
Yeah, it's such a great point. And it's something that I talked about with David Bloomberg on one of the podcasts about how these survivors that say, you know, well, you know, I had to be who I am. You know, this is who I am. And I have to be true to myself. And I say I disagree. You have to be the version of yourself that's most appealing to the person that you are trying to engage with. And Zeke does a fantastic job with that. And just to speak more to that moment, Steven, that I felt like that moment between Zeke and Brett about the differences between the two of them and what it's like for Brett to be a gay man and be from Generation X, as opposed to Zeke, who is a gay person and is a millennial. That was worth every stretched reference between and generalization of the generations in this season just to get to that point.
Yeah, I totally agree. I thought the same thing, that it totally validated the theme. Just that one conversation was so rich and poignant and really like, you know, what it's all about. And what Survivor is all about, too, is like bringing people together who are from totally, from different walks of life, and like having them talk about how their perspective has been formed by their, you know, unique experiences, and like finding respect from that. I thought that was really beautiful.
Not since your poem in Cambodia, Stephen, have I been so moved on Survivor. Okay. So many other things that we could get into. What else is standing out? I mean, that a historic night with this rock draw. Is this the third time that we've gone to rocks in Survivor history? In Marquesas, we haven't gone to rocks
Marquesas,
again.
Blood versus
Tyson,
water.
Right?
Yeah. And I don't, yeah. It sort of did with the Keith vote, right? No, they switched, I guess, the Keith and when
right,
Kimmy
we had tie
home.
Votes, and then see the beauty I've always said about the rock draw, and why, you know, it came up quite a bit in the evolution of strategy with Josh, where, you know, they invented a tiebreaker in season 4, and it was so abhorrent that people avoided doing it. It was the ultimate incentive for players to not have ties.
Yeah.
So they invented something that nobody ever wanted to do, that for 23 seasons, nobody ever risked going to this tiebreaker before. And then now it's sort of talked about like, hey, it wasn't such a bad idea. You should go to rocks.
Right.
And I wonder if it'll go back after this and where future Survivor players.
I think it will. And I think it should, you know, I think like, and hopefully like I'm sure like, you know, every other blog is, you know, right. And maybe the other blogs will follow, will agree with us and also say that it was a bad move to do it. And I think that, you know, will sort of get disseminated into the Survivor air.
Yeah. All right. We're going to get into some of these questions and talk through a couple of these other things.
What about Adam? Did you think this was a good episode for Adam?
I did. I thought that, you know, obviously put the idol on Ken was not great, but I felt like that the heat was so strong on Adam over these last two episodes. This was such a great night for him to be able to get back under the radar. Obviously,
totally.
The scene where he gets the letter, I mean, if, you know, completely, you know, I'm, you know, I'm a very, you know, I'm not an emotional man, but again, that stuff is just completely, you know, I'm a mess about that, even if I'm not on the outside, Stephen. And I mean,
you're a rock, Rob.
No, I know that. I mean, it's what a scene, you know, that is as well.
Yeah, it was a great scene. I agree. Good night for Adam, where, you know, we left him last week, where, you know, it certainly looked like he was going to be in trouble. Right. And then he comes back and sort of is able to just put it all behind him and then become a, you know, sort of like slide into being, you know, under the radar again. I thought it was a really good night for him.
Yeah. I was surprised though that he was so willing to cut Zeke. You know, we've heard Zeke talk about, hey, that we should get rid of Adam. I wonder if Hannah narked on Zeke to Adam and said, oh, but hey, have you heard that Zeke is talking about getting rid of you as well?
Well, I wonder too, like Hannah said something about Zeke being condescending. And I wonder if there's an element to how good he is at bonding with people where, you know, it can almost seem like he's too good. You know, sometimes people who are so good at bonding with people, you feel a little bit of distance from.
Yeah. All right. So let's get into some of the questions. That's how we feel, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. J.K.M. Larson wants to know.
Wait, hold on, before Stephen. Hold on. Don't cut to that. Don't cut me off here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Condescending. I mentioned it at the top of the show. I just wanted to show you guys. That we had these at the live know-it-alls.
In
New York. The Survivor Know-It-Alls boxing poster. I sent 60 of these over to Stephen Fishback today to get signed. We've got 60 of them up in the store. Signed Survivor Know-It-Alls old school boxing poster designed by Brian Malloy. You can check those out over at robhasawebsite.com/KIA poster if you want to get your hands on one of those for the holidays. And also the Rob has a podcast bell shirts are back as well. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/RHAP shirts as well to get in on those. We've got the hoodies, the classic shirts, and then also shirts with the new logo and design that we launched a few months back. So robswebsite.com/RHAP shirts or robswebsite.com/KIA poster. All right, let's get into
it. I love that. Can I just say, like, I love that poster. I'm so excited about it. Like, I'm going to get it framed. I don't even know where I'm going to put it, but I'm going to get it framed and put it up in like my apartment.
Yeah.
It's so good.
I mean, Brian Malloy did a great job. All right. So let's get into the questions tonight, Stephen. All right. Take it away. Jake Larson's question.
Jake Larson wants to know, can you please explain who mentioned Ken in Tribal in order to get David to play his idol for him? So it looked like that was misinformation, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's possible that there could have been some talk in terms of what are we doing, guys? How are we going to put the idol on? I mean, it'll be interesting to talk to somebody from that side eventually and ask them what they were thinking in, like, was that a play? Was that design? Or was it just sort of complete chaos?
But the way that Sunday said it, I thought it was a play. You know, like, they're like whispering, like doing like stage whispers among themselves. And like someone who at Sunday says, like, we have to stick to the plan. And Hannah, you know, like, really audibly. And then Hannah's like, well, what's the plan? And Sunday says, Ken is the play. You know, it was, and then, you know, my favorite part of that tribal council was when Zeke says something to the effect of, you know, as we've shown tonight, tribal council is theater. And like, basically, he's kind of saying, you know, like winking, like, we've done a misdirection here, you know. And I think that I got this. My thought was that's what he was referring to.
Yeah. It's such a layered tribal council. I mean, you could watch it probably 5 times and come away with it something new every single time. So I definitely have to watch that again after the episode. And hopefully we get some insight in the secret scenes. I don't know what we'll have up about that in terms of what the players were thinking going into tribal. But really interesting tribal council tonight.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go to another question. This is from Daryl Albert, who wants to ask, you have to explain this convoluted rules of rock drawing. Why not fire? All right. This is what it is. I mean, just to get this straight, I did feel like that the one wrinkle that we explored tonight, Stephen, that I don't really recall making such a meal out of was this idea of you have one more chance to all agree on what the vote is going to be. I feel like that maybe that's just been like sort of like a beat. Nothing has happened. And we just sort of like,
that's what happened in Cambodia. Like that's, and I think maybe they got that from Cambodia. Like, I think that's the first time that happened where they, I think that's the first time that happened at the final six when Kimmy went home.
Great
there
point.
There was the two ties and then they had the conversation and they talked it out. And then eventually like Keith, who was the lone holdout, flipped to Kimmy.
Yeah, and you know, I feel so stupid for not mentioning that vote as well, which is sort of like that was the vote that sort of proved the blood versus water. Hey, you have to, you know, everybody stick to the plan here because it's my side versus your side.
Right.
And then ultimately, they couldn't come to a consensus in that moment. And then that's ultimately where Kimmy ends up going home in that spot. And yep. So, yeah.
But again, like that's at the final six. Right. Like that's what you're saying. Like when it's that close, it actually is worth going to rocks over because, right. The final three, the three who won that vote were the final three.
You can see how it's going to play out. You say, okay, yeah. Well, if I don't make this move tonight, then the next tribal council, I'm going to lose and you're going to lose. So we all have to stick together. And so let's put our fate in the hands of luck. But there's so much game left to be played at this point. There's 2 weeks of the game left. And it's so, you know, you don't know what could happen.
Yeah. And to the question of the actual rule, the fire making is at final four now. The reason being that it just didn't make sense, the rock draw at the final, because like theoretically, the rock draw at the final four, you know, you've got two people, the one person who's got immunity, two people who were voted for, meaning there's only one person who goes home, like the one person who would draw a rock. So they turned that into a fire making challenge.
Right. And in the original time they pulled the rocks, that was at the final four, but they added the wrinkle to it where to enhance, you know, to get if the idea is to get people to not go into a tie and assign immunity to the people who got the votes on them. So ultimately those people
make it more. Yeah.
And the voters have more pressure on them to flip up their votes
to make it more unpalatable. The idea that the people who you were going to send home, there's no way they're going home if you don't mix things up.
Okay.
Derek Hazelton wants to know, why don't the troops align, trust cluster, realize none of them can win with Zeke or David in the game?
They will.
Yeah, they will. That's what's going to happen in the next few weeks.
Yeah. Sophie Clark wanted a lot of credit, Stephen, that she talked about last week where we got into voting blocks versus alliances that I don't remember exactly what she said, but she actually did term, you know, that I think it's sort of groups of people who trust each other. She was asking for some credit on Twitter for inventing trust clusters.
Did she invent trust clusters?
I don't know. She invented something with trust. I don't know if it's a trust cluster.
God, everyone just wants to, you know, not everyone gets to invent their own strategy term.
All right. Nicolette says, would Jessica have been viewed as a Cochran figure if she flipped on Hannah? We explored this at the top of the show.
Yeah.
And I think you made the right point of that it was not a group of people that she had been with from the beginning. Yes, she might have been looked at as the ultimate traitor from Ken and Jessica, from Ken and David. But to the other people that she was voting with, I mean, to Adam and Hannah, would they have viewed it? Well, yeah. Hannah would have been gone. And
what loyalty does she have to Hannah? She's been with Hannah for like 3 days. You know, I mean, right. Hannah wasn't on her swap tribe or her original tribe. You know, she's known Hannah for a week.
Yeah. And so, but Hannah would be gone. So yeah. It would just be Adam and David and Ken that would have been so sore with her. And how mad would Adam have been? And potentially the problem for Jessica, the problem with switching was that things were so sour between already with, she would have been flipping to a side that had Brett and Sunday who had been gunning for her for so long in the game. So it wasn't necessarily like she was somebody who was just going to be able to flip to the other side, that there was already so much ill will between her and the people from the other side.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that's part of it. I mean, I'm sure there was also just the element of like not wanting to let down the people who were relying on you. You know, I think that probably was a big part of it too. You know, and that fear of being that Cochran character where you know, you're blamed for the alliance's loss. It's hard. It's hard in like, you know, it's hard at any point in to make a decision like this. You know, we're talking through it. You know, they've got no food. They've had no sleep. And then like,
no time.
You got this like, what? No time. Exactly. Exactly. Like you got like 10 seconds to make a decision that's going to, you know, obviously affect your entire game. Like it's so, so, so hard. And, you know, like, there's no way to make the right decision unless you win. You know, if you win, it was the right call. And if you didn't, it wasn't.
And I want to take a moment also just to be sympathetic to Jessica, because I know it's coming like, how stupid that you didn't, that you went to rocks here in this spot. But, you know, there was a 5 in 6 chance it wasn't going to be her, that she was going to ultimately make it through there. It's a no-win situation. We talked about how she doesn't have a ton of friends on the other side. If it was Will who drew the Black Rock, I think we'd be killing it. Like, nobody was coming after Will. What is he thinking? Why doesn't he flip his vote at this tribal council? So for whoever ultimately goes out in this spot, it's never going to, you know, it just was dumb luck. And sure, there's things you could do differently in hindsight, but you know, you end up in this situation and it's really, you know, not a good spot to be in.
And the fact that she was thinking about flipping at all, you know, suggests that she's like, she was asking the right question. She just, you know, didn't have enough time to, you know, she got Hannah in her face, like pleading with her, please don't, you know, kill me, mom. You know, it's like, what do you do in that situation?
Please don't kill me, mom.
Please don't pull me out. You know, like, oh, how do you resist a face like that? Oh.
Yeah, I know. It was just such amazing, as to use Zeke's word again, theater, where Zeke is saying like, hey, Jessica, I'm telling you, I switch up my game all the time. They just go ahead, switch. Yeah. Anna's like, please don't do it. And you saw Jessica say, I don't want to go to rocks.
Yeah.
And they found her. It's just like, it was just heart-wrenching, but it was so compelling and amazing. Just such a great night of Survivor.
Really great. Really great. So much going on. I'm trying to think. And even like David's moment with Ken was really great. You know, where they had their little sort of like, just sort of like check in, like as people, you know, and, you know, Ken's like, oh, how you doing? And, you know, David, you know.
Yeah, I'm so proud of you, man. Like you did it. Really fantastic. Joel wants to know, is this the oddest possible romantic connection that Hannah feels for Ken? Yeah. The Hannah and Ken.
Oh, that was great too. Yes.
I mean my friend, Matt Cerrone, texted me tonight and said like, Ken does seem to have this amazing knack of like, he's like some sort of like Tony Robbins type figure where anybody that's insecure, he's boosting them up. He's making them feel good.
Yeah. I don't think it's that odd for anyone to be attracted to Ken, right? I don't think that's like that strange.
Does Ken have a thing for Hannah?
We should add. Who knows? And Anna.
Yes. Okay. Joel wants to know, is this the earliest somebody has gone home because of rocks? Yes. The previous rock polls had been at final four, final six. We haven't had one in final eight. Here we are at final 10.
Yeah. Crazy.
Crazy. Okay. Steven, what about Jocelyn?
Jocelyn Halpert wants to know, is David the first player to have two idols and play neither of them on himself?
We'd have to go and check Probably. That out. We have I to go and check so. That out.
What about Parvati? Parvati had two idols that she didn't play either of them on herself. She played one on Jerry and one on Sandra.
Yeah, that's very fair. I'm trying to think of what Malk might have done in Cambodia. I'm sorry, in Karamoan.
Right.
So we'll say yes, and we'll have to go
back. We'll say no. Parvati had two and didn't play either on herself.
Okay. All right. Well, Steve, that's why Stephen Fishback's always on the Survivor Wiki. Okay.
Jonathan Manriquez wants to know, how do David and Ken get out of this? It seems like they're down 5-4 now.
Yeah, we're at the final nine all of a sudden. I mean, do you feel like that the Zeke's five is going to hold, Steven?
No, of course not.
So you? What happens from here? What happens from here?
I mean, we were presented with two different possibilities, right? Yesterday, I mean, in the freaking show, you know, Will flips. You know, everyone wants to make a big move in Survivor, big moves. And, you know, I don't think that, you know, that group of five specifically is not that tight, right? Like, you know, Will is and Jay have sort of been a thing, but Will is now free of Jay and he went to Zeke, but like he's been with Zeke for a freaking episode, you know? You got, you know, Brett and Sunday, you know, they're not necessarily like that tight who knows what happens? You
know, here's the thing. I think that David has an excellent chance to be the next person who gets voted out. But the thing is that once David is gone, do people start to say, okay, now Zeke is the biggest target left in the game?
I don't think David's going next.
Okay. We'll see. I mean, I think you have to probably, if you're going to figure out the odds, that David has to be the person that gets most likely to be targeted.
Yeah. I agree with you, though, that like David has the biggest likely, like often these things, like you're saying, these big face-offs, like they just end up in the result is that they both of the people who are facing off end up going home like one after the other. So it certainly could happen. I just don't feel it for David. I don't think David's story's over yet.
Okay. It'd be interesting, though, you know, if they come for David next and then things turn around and they come for Zeke.
Yeah.
We get to the final seven. Jay's still in the game and he has an idol. How crazy is
that? I think Jay's in a great spot here. I think Jay's in a really, really good spot.
I mean, after last week, I mean, amazingly, he didn't play his idol at either tribal council.
And weakness is the greatest strength, right? Perceived weakness. You know, now that Jay's allies are gone, nobody's worried about him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So crazy. All right. One or two more questions with Steven here. Tomas said, should Adam have pulled a Parvati and played his idol for Hannah? No. That's interesting. I mean, he was just sort of like calling the shots and like, hey, why don't you play your idol for Ken? He could have iced this thing and played his idol for Hannah.
Yeah. But like, then what if it was David? You know, I mean, you're never that sure. Here we are saying that it was bad of Jessica to go to rocks. You know, if we're saying that it's not the right move to put all your chips in at this point for your five, then it equally doesn't make sense for Adam to do that with his idol.
Yeah. It was interesting, though, that Adam went to rocks without playing his idol at that vote. I know you can't play the idol after a certain point.
Can't play the idol after the initial vote. Yeah.
But I mean, if everybody there knows, hey, this is a potential 5-5 vote, I mean, it could have been Adam.
Yeah, it could have been Adam. But they probably had more of a sense. You know, they seemed to know that it was Hannah. Maybe Hannah was just being paranoid, but she was just correct to be paranoid. You know, David and Hannah, it wouldn't necessarily make sense for them to vote Adam. Like, why would Zeke target Adam?
Same reason, he targeted Hannah.
No, but he targeted Hannah because she like concretely like flipped on him at the well.
Yeah. I mean, he said he wanted to vote out Adam, you know, previous to tonight's episode. So we don't know. There's so many conversations that we could have seen or not seen. Okay. Want to do one more question?
Yeah. Cheryl Mika wants to know, thoughts on Brett's outbursts during Tribal. Did he go from hero to villain in under 60 minutes?
Yeah, it was interesting that we had a couple times where, you know, that he was the one getting on David about, hey, what are you going to cry now? And then we also saw him say like, hey, Ken, this is Survivor, you know, get with it. And he really did go ahead and start to jump down people's throats. It was like he had a couple of drinks before he went.
Yeah, it was. I was a little bit surprised by that. And then Zeke kind of got in on it as well. you know, not the greatest moment, but like you said, the group kind of policed itself. David was like, I'm not going to go there. And then it kind of, you know, blew over.
Yeah. They're like, all right, guys, come on. So
that was weird. What are you going to cry about it? It's like a line out of like, it's like a bully from a Jim Carrey movie. You know, it's like, what kind of like insult is that?
Yeah, it was like, funny.
Toxic masculinity, Rob.
It's just very interesting to see that it was, you know, the two people that we said in the same episode had this amazing moment of that both like confiding each other about how what it's like for them to be gay. They both go to tribal council and then are going after David and calling him out. What a interesting world.
Yeah, people are complex.
Yeah. All right, Steven, and then check this out. This was a Gen X Jessica posted.
Oh, my God. Is this real?
I'm not sure if this is real or not. I think that she retweeted it, but I don't know if she made it. Yeah. I guess it must be real. It's her holding the rock, right?
Yeah. Is that her? It's a woman holding a rock.
I mean, I'm pretty sure that's her.
Okay.
Yeah. So at least it seems like that maybe she got over it, that she has a Craigslist post up of her with the rock. Interesting. Okay. All right. Not the color I ordered is what it says on that as well. So very funny. All right, yeah. Steven, such fun stuff tonight.
Yeah. Sorry about my audio.
Oh, that. Look, who cares? I'm so fired up. I'm so excited about what we've seen here tonight. And we've got such an interesting final nine. Best of all, for this season, where we have these two battering rams, the Prophex and Magneto, going after each other, both still in the game, Zeke and David.
Yeah. Prophex versus Magneto-lils.
Whatever you want to call it. It's really, really exciting. So yeah. You have these two people, the two chess players. You have Jay still in the game with an idol. You have Adam still in the game with an idol and an advantage.
What a silly advantage. I mean, maybe it'll pay off next week.
Steven, next week it looks like we're getting the family visit.
Yeah,
and
it could pay off.
That's been, you know, teased to us of like, what's he going to do? Yeah, the person who wants the family visit the most, could he?
That would be really interesting. I thought it was really interesting last week when Adam's like, it's not really a game advantage. And like, they were like, actually, it kind of is. Because like, that stuff is, you know, what the game comes down to, which is like your emotions and your heart. And it's true.
Yeah. So great stuff tonight. So, so much excitement going on in the world of Survivor. And Steven, we are less than, I think it's like, just 21 days away from the finale, 3 weeks from tonight.
Wow.
So incredible. All right, Steven. So I'm very thankful to have you back. Josh Wendler and Sophie did a great job while you were gone, but I'm so happy that you were back for this night in particular.
Yeah, this was a great one. And a great job. Thank you so much for blogging. I'm so thankful to you for blogging on my behalf.
Who's getting fishies? Do you give out two fishies tonight?
No, I don't know who to give the fishy to. Who do I give it to? Rob, you're the expert now. Tell me.
I don't know. In your absence, I gave one to Zeke and one to Jay.
I think those were the right two. I think Zeke for the first episode and then Jay last week. I thought that was perfect.
Last week was tough. Last week was really tough.
No, but Jay was good. He really played it really well. But who this week? I wouldn't give it to Zeke, I guess. But like Zeke almost went home. Like by voting out Chris, Zeke put himself in a terrible position where he got five votes.
Yeah, he really did. It's hard because I feel like that Zeke was such a great player tonight, but I do think that he made the wrong call in that this second hour, where I think that this was an overreach to go after David the more we're talking about it. So I think
do you think Zeke should have done?
I think if there was some way to sort of get back on the same page with David, I mean, rather than go to war, was there a way to make peace? That's my question.
I mean, it's the thing. It's like, what do you? Yeah. So who do I give the fishy to, Rob? Come on, Chance.
I mean, by the second hour, I don't know who you give it to.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I don't have that answer. My work here is done, Steven. That's your rock to carry.
God.
Okay. Your cross to bear. So rock, all right, Steven.
To carry, yeah.
Okay, so all sorts of great stuff coming up. Of course, Tyson Apostle interview coming up on Friday. Get your voicemails in, robinswebsite.com/voicemail for that. Or you can send in your questions, survivor at robhasawebsite.com. Again, the Survivor Know-It-Alls poster, robhasawebsite.com/KIA poster. And if any of you guys are going to be doing the holiday shopping, definitely appreciate you thinking of us with our link for robhasawebsite.com/Amazon. Steven, anything else?
No, this was great.
Okay. Great stuff. Steven, enjoy your Thanksgiving.
And likewise.
Well, and to all of the listeners of the podcast, happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving, everybody.
Well. All right. Take care, everybody. Looking forward to hearing your comments on robhasawebsite.com. Take care. Bye.
Bye. Survivor Know-It-Alls.